Did science have a role in equipping women with the skills to seek the vote in the suffrage movement, or did scientific ideas about intelligence disenfranchise women? NSTA reviewer Jacob Lickenstaff explores the topic and identifies other ways teachers can use the movie Suffragette in the classroom.
You work at the Glass House Laundry?
I was born there. Part-time washer at 7, full-time from when I was 12.
What would the vote mean to you?
I've been writing Blick on Flicks for nearly 6 years now, and I hope regular readers have noticed a few patterns in the movies I review and my approach to the use of movies in science classes. First, I've tried to look for ways that movie makers get the science right, not just places where they make scientific errors. Second, I seek out movies and television shows that portray scientists as more than just caricatures, those that depict scientists as women, people of color, and/or men with some social skills. Finally, I've chosen to write about films that most people would not expect to find in a science class, things like 12 Years a Slave and The Devil Wears Prada, for example. This is because I believe that putting science into conversation with history, literature, and the arts is a way to break down artificial barriers between human knowledge. To kick off 2016, I'm taking another step in this direction with this review of Suffragette. The film's title refers to women who campaigned for suffrage, or the right to vote, in the late 19th and early 20th century, particularly those in the United Kingdom and the United States. Major figures in the women's suffrage movements included Susan B. Anthony and Alice Paul in the United States, and John Stuart Mill and Emmeline Pankhurst in the United Kingdom. Suffragette combines historical figures like Pankhurst and Emily Davison with fictional characters representative of women in the movement. Carey Mulligan stars as the fictional Maud Watts, who effectively stands in for thousands of women who worked in London laundry facilities in the early 20th century. At the start of the film, set in 1912, we learn that Maud began work in the East End Laundry as a child, just 7 years old, and is considered to be nearing the end of her work life now that she's in her mid-20s. Maud is initially unsympathetic to the women campaigning for the vote through civil disobedience. She becomes part of the movement first by testifying about the conditions in the laundry where she works, then by protesting when the Prime Minister takes no action after that testimony. She is beaten and arrested, spending several days in jail. Her husband and neighbors begin to ostracize her for becoming a suffragette.
All my life, I've been respectful, done what men told me.
You're a wife, my wife. That's what you're meant to be.
Well, I can't have that anymore.
And a neighbor who had cared for her young son begins to refuse. Eventually, she is fired from her job and takes up even more radical action, cutting telegraph lines and blowing up mailboxes with homemade bombs. Though the action of the film ends in 1913, it would not be until 1928 that women in the United Kingdom would enjoy the same voting rights as men. I see a few possible connections between suffragette and school science, particularly in optics and chemistry. One of the leaders of the movement Maud works with is Edith Ellen, a fictional character, played by Helena Bonham Carter. Ellen is a pharmacist, or would be called a chemist in the United Kingdom, who not only supplies medicine to the sick, but also bombs to the suffragettes. A government agent working to suppress the protests refers to the use of dynamite, but in the one scene where we see Ellen working on a bomb, she appears to be making gunpowder. Dynamite is clay or diatomaceous earth soaked in nitroglycerin, while gunpowder is a mixture of saltpeter, sulfur, and charcoal, two very different explosives. The government uses an early 20th century technology to track and publicly shame suffragettes, the camera. Early in the film, government agents hold up a large, heavy camera about the size of a basketball and proclaim it as nicely portable and compact. They also note that it doesn't require a tripod and so can be used covertly on the street. We later see many pictures of women entering or leaving meetings, and eventually close-up photos are published in newspapers to make life more difficult for the campaigners. While it's amusing to laugh at their old-fashioned idea of compact cameras, it seems that there's a bit of exaggeration going on in the movie, as small, or grapefruit-sized Kodak Brownie cameras were widely available in 1900. An optical phenomenon we see several times in the film is a character looking at a window or other glass surface and considering both her reflection and the objects on the other side of the glass. This partial reflection and partial transmission is most noticeable when the brightness on both sides of the glass is about the same. All clear surfaces transmit, reflect, and absorb some light, but the relative appearance of each can change depending on lighting conditions. A person in a bright room after dark will only see the reflection of the interior of the room when looking outside, because very little light is coming in from outside. In contrast, someone standing outside at night can easily see into a lit room because virtually all the light is coming out of the lit room. Maud looks through a window at some expensive clothing, but is able to see her own reflection as well, since the lighting inside and outside the glass is about the same. Science teachers could collaborate with a history or social science teacher in exploring campaigns for women's suffrage in the early 20th century. In addition to the chemistry and optics topics described above, the role of steam power in the Industrial Revolution and scientific perspectives on innate intelligence would be interesting starting points for conversation.
For more of Dr. Blickenstaff's reviews, go to the NSTA website and search for Blick on Flicks.
We do not want to be lawbreakers. We want to be lawmakers.